Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, I'll talk with a young poet from Cedar Rapids. Her name is Diamond Roundtree. But first, Anjali Pinto became a widow suddenly on New Year's Eve of 2016. Her young, strong, fit 30-year-old husband, Jacob Johnson, died of an aortic dissection. They had been planning to ride Ragbri together as a way to honor Jacob's late grandmother. But instead, Pinto ended up riding across the state with Jacob's family to honor both Jacob and his grandmother. She's now preparing to ride Ragbri again. She's also a photographer, and she has shared her journey with grief openly and poignantly through Instagram. And she is on the line with me now. Hello, Anjali.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And I want to start with your extraordinary love story. It's unusual. You actually met Jacob through Instagram. How did that happen?
I think it started because a friend posted a portrait of me who had a lot of followers, and Jacob kind of just saw my face, said, pretty, pretty, and started following along my photography journey. Over the course of many months, he would leave little quips and one-liners and the perfect emoji, which sounds silly, but I was lured in. I was like, who is this cutie? And at some point, he posted a picture of his bike along the lake, and I sort of baited him to start a conversation and asked him, you know, where did you pick up your bike? And instead of responding back, he like went to my website, found my email address, and wrote me this long email about how to fit your bike, and signed it with his phone number. So we started texting and met shortly after that, and we're pretty much inseparable from the first date.
And were you both living in the Chicago area at that time?
Yeah, we were about a mile apart. So it was convenient, and also like, well, maybe we would have run into each other on the street if it hadn't happened on Instagram. Like, you're my neighbor.
It's extraordinary to think of the connection that started in that way. Of course, once you met in person, then the connection became so much stronger. Tell me about Jacob. What was he like?
Everyone loved him. He was very handsome, which, you know, that helps making a good first impression, I guess. But his heart and his mind were just so beautiful. He was very easygoing and creative. He made people feel very comfortable in his presence. And a lot of my friends, after he died, said that, you know, anytime you were talking to him, he just seemed so genuinely interested in what you had to say and remembered things about your past. And just, he felt like an old friend to everyone he met.
And Jacob grew up in Onawa, Iowa, right?
That's correct. Yeah, the start of Ragbri this year.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Peoria, Illinois, which is like 2.5 hours south of Chicago.
Now, of course, you grew up in the Midwest, so you were familiar with Midwestern culture. But Western Iowa is pretty different from Peoria, Illinois. Tell me about visiting home with Jacob.
The first time we went, I like had this idea that it was going to be like this quaint, everything's like run by a local business kind of vibe. And I was like, take me to a cafe. I want to have a cup of coffee at a diner and look out the window and see like small town America. He's like, we could go to McDonald's. It was Sunday and the restaurant was not open or whatever. It is all about family and community in Onawa. I absolutely love going back there. It's a beautiful place. And I guess I had the mindset that Iowa's flat and you just drive through it because my interpretation was, you know, Highway 80.
Right.
And like being out there and seeing the Les Hills and everything in bloom and all the cornfields, it just like feels like you can see for miles, and it is just such a special place. And my family is wonderful there.
Right. So your relationship grew and became strong so quickly once you actually connected in person. Mm-hmm. How long before you started talking about getting married?
Jacob started mentioning it almost immediately, which really freaked me out. I had like a healthy fear of marriage as an institution. I think I was like, well, you know, people make promises and then they don't keep them. So I'm just happy to have found someone who loves me for me. And marriage may come, it may not. But we were driving in the car one day and something came on the radio and he's like, oh, I can totally see us dancing to this at our wedding. I was like, are you kidding me? I've known you for 2 months. Like, what? But, you know, over time, that's like the most charming thing about him. He knew what he wanted and he wasn't afraid to say it. I don't know very many people like that. And I don't think masculinity in general offers a lot of examples for right. how to be
that vulnerable,
so open.
That open yeah. and emotional. When did you get married?
We got married in August of 2015.
And I would love to hear more about your relationship with Jacob's family. I know that that's changed a lot since he passed away. But tell me about developing that relationship, becoming part of his family.
I think for me, I grew up with a very tight-knit family, and I have two siblings, and my parents are still married, and I didn't really feel like I needed any more love. Like, I was happy with what I had, and learning to be accepted by someone else's family is a vulnerable place to be. I wanted to be myself, but I was also afraid that they might not like all of me. And I think after Jacob's death, you know, having them show up for me in so many ways and continue to be a part of my life, it is incredible. You know, I just think if I am lucky enough to find a partner again and have children, like, they'll have to accept me and my blood family, but they'll also have to accept that I have Jacob's family, and I want to continue growing within that life as well.
The two of you had only been married about a year when Jacob lost his grandmother. Tell me about his relationship with his grandmother.
Oh, Karen was a lot like Jacob. She loved to laugh. She had a beautiful smile. When I first came back to visit, it was for her birthday, and I was in a jewelry class at the time, and I made her a bracelet. And she was like, you make me feel like Wonder Woman. I just felt so loved by her. And I mean, that was just an incredible experience to be like, wow, I love him. And his family is so amazing. She was a goofball. And she, up until the very end, always wanted to try new things. She had this RV that she parked in a lot nearby. And she was like, I just want to see what it's like to live on my own. And I'm going to go up to the RV and stay a few nights. And then she would call her husband and be like, I heard something outside. I'm terrified. Please come help. So I love that about her. She was just up for any adventure. And she and her sisters were a really tight-knit bunch. She came from a big family. And they rode Ragbri together in the 70s. I later found out they didn't ride the whole thing. They were more in it for the party. But at her funeral, we found photos of her, you know, with her bike and her cut-off jean shorts. And Jacob and I were like, we have to do this. This is amazing.
So the two of you came up with that idea right away, that would be the way to remember her and to honor her, to ride Ragbri together?
It was like a circle of his cousins talking at the funeral home, and we were all like, I think we should do this.
Now, I have to ask you, if just a few years before that, a very few short years before that, you were asking for advice on getting a bike from Jacob on Instagram, what kind of biking experience did you have?
Very little. I think I had a bike when I was in college, and I lived at the top of a very small hill, and I rode it home one time, got extremely winded, and was like, yep, I'm taking the bus, and biking's not for me. But once I moved to the city, I started to envy people commuting on their bikes. It looked so freeing, and like you're sitting at a red light and the bikes have the freedom to go. So I bought a cruiser on Craigslist for $50, and that thing was heavy and hard to ride. And right around the time that I met Jacob, I saw that he had this road bike, and I was like, I'm going to need to get something faster to keep up with him. So basically, the week we met, I bought a road bike, and then the second time we hung out, I met him on the bike, and I was like, oh, yeah, I've been riding this thing forever. Like, I'm old pro. But, yeah, we biked that entire summer. And I think, like, having someone to ride with when you're new to road biking is so nice, because I would get afraid of cars or feel unsure on sharp turns, or we don't really have hills in Chicago, so I don't have that speed issue, but it was fun to learn with him.
Well, and when you were talking about going on RagBri, was that a little bit daunting to think about riding your bike across the entire state of Iowa, even with Jacob there to help and support you?
To be totally honest, I had like a very vague understanding of what RagBri was, and I was like, maybe I'll be like the support vehicle, you know, like, sure, I'll do that. But after I looked at the course map, I was like, 411 miles? That's a long way. That takes a whole day to drive.
Right.
but it actually, I mean, I trained for it, but the physical feat of it was not as difficult as I had imagined. I think I'm just prone to be good at endurance athletics and not like I'm not agile. So I'm like, I can run for a long time at a very, very, very slow pace, and I can swim,
so RagBri is
and
perfect.
I can bike. Yes.
All right. We are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. My guest is Anjali Pinto. She became a widow very suddenly. About a year and a half ago, she lost her 30-year-old husband, Jacob Johnson, and they had been planning on riding RagBri together in honor of his late grandmother. She ended up riding RagBri last summer along with her in-laws, along with his family, and she's preparing to do it again. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. Later in the hour, I'll talk with poet Diamond Roundtree of Cedar Rapids. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. My guest right now is Anjali Pinto. She is a professional photographer and has quite a following on Instagram. In fact, she met her husband, Jacob Johnson, on Instagram. They spent a few very happy years together, but she lost him suddenly on New Year's Eve of 2016 of an aortic dissection. They had been planning to ride RagBri together the next summer as a way to honor Jacob's late grandmother. But instead, Pinto ended up riding across the state with Jacob's family, and now she's preparing to do it again. She's also been sharing her grief and her experiences through her Instagram account. And Anjali, after Jacob's death, I can't even imagine what you were going through, but I want to ask about why you just continued to decide that riding RagBri would be a good idea.
I think I just needed to try everything in my power to honor him. I would basically come up with a list of things like, would he be proud of me if I did this? Would he love me more if I did this? And I tried them all. RagBri seemed like such an amalgamation of all of his interests, and I knew that he wanted the opportunity to do it, and if he couldn't be here to do it, then I was going to try.
RagBri is many things. One of the things is it's a kind of a giant rolling party across the state. It's it can be a challenging experience, but the atmosphere is fun. It's lighthearted. And here you were going through this terrible grief. How did that feel, being surrounded by all of these strangers who were out to have a great time?
I really wasn't ready to just join in on the party aspect. I think one evening we had 3 beers and got a little tipsy because we were probably dehydrated. But other than that, it was really a time for reflection for me. I rode, I showered, and then I would go home, whatever the tent was set up for the night, and write in my journal. And that time I spent quietly with Jacob's family is what I treasured most about the experience.
Did you have fun?
I had lots of fun. I think just meeting the people while I was writing, there were times where you kind of keep pace with a stranger and you start up conversations. And that was like, that's fun for me. I like meeting new people. And I think seeing all of the small towns and the different approaches that they had to welcoming the... There was just so much excitement in the communities that we passed through, and that was also really fun. I had a smile on my face most of the time. There were just elements that made me sad, and it was hard to see, like, at one giant hill. I had to get off my bike and walk it, and I got passed by a couple, and the guy was pushing his partner up on her bike. They were both riding, and I was just broken to tears. I was like... His spirit is doing that for me, but it's not the same. Yeah.
How do you think that changed your relationship with Jacob's family to spend that week together in such an intense way?
His cousin, Elizabeth, is soft-spoken, and she's like, we need you around. You just say it like it is. It really is refreshing. So it was lovely. It wasn't a vacation. We were working very hard to get to the next spot. But I think for all of us, it was a celebration of both Karen and Jacob's life.
What do you think you learned about yourself from that week?
I can do anything. I feel incredibly strong and proud of my body in a way that I didn't before.
When you and Jacob were together, you are a professional photographer, and he really found a love of photography as well and became quite an accomplished photographer himself. But taking pictures was something that the two of you just loved to do together, and he went with you on a lot of your professional shoots and stood in. You have literally tens of thousands of pictures that you took together, and you have been sharing these pictures and your thoughts very openly on Instagram really ever since Jacob's death. Why did you decide to do that? Was there a moment where you thought, I need to share this?
As soon as he died, I spent the next 2 days pouring through my computer and pulling up all these images of him laughing and smiling and being goofy. And it felt so surreal, like, now my husband like lives in these pictures and nowhere else. And I wanted people to remember him for who he was and not the way he died, which he had no control over. And it was so sudden. And I didn't want people to think of him as like a sad thought. I wanted it to be bright and light, like the way he was. So I wanted to start sharing the pictures, but I also felt there were a lot of people worried about me and concerned and looking to me because basically I was living out their worst fear. And I wanted to give them insight to what it actually feels like day to day to experience this.
As you were posting those pictures, people were responding with condolences like people do. That's how we know to respond. Was there a shift in what you were starting to get from people? Because for people who don't spend time on Instagram, it's not just your friends who are seeing your pictures. You can have a public account. As a photographer, you have a lot of followers and had a lot of followers. So you were sharing this not just with people who were close to you, but with strangers as well.
It's actually what drew people to my Instagram, though. I had maybe 5,000 or 6,000 followers when Jacob died. And that was, you know, because I was a professional photographer and I had a pretty photo stream to begin with. But really, it's the writing and the transparency in my experience that drew new followers in. And I felt like there were not any voices that I could turn to of young widows. You know, I turned to memoirs and movies, and I searched far and wide for someone who had experienced something similar to me. And now I think I know all five of them. But I wanted to give voice to people who were suffering that didn't have like the skills that I have, which are writing and photography.
I would love for you to read one of the posts that you made. This one is from March of 2017. And the photo that you posted is a very raw picture. It's of you in a bathroom mirror. It's a selfie, but it's a portrait of grief. Can you read for us what you wrote?
Sure. Grief is very much a taboo in our culture. As much as we want to help people that are hurting, we are never taught what to say or do to help. We avoid the conversation altogether, or we talk about something that makes us more comfortable. People have said to me, meaning to be supportive, remarks that are so upsetting it's mind-boggling. I know what it's like to be lonely. Well, not as lonely as you. Or, I'm so happy for you. Or, if I were you, I would just want to go back to my routine. I have no desire to be critical of people. It brings me no pleasure. I want to be thankful that I am alive, that I am supported. I want to take what they meant to say instead of what I heard, which is, you're in my thoughts. For each one of the really dark days I've encountered since Jacob died, I have had a mechanism to cope. Friends, traveling, my family, his family, great books, massages, nature. If you have a friend or a loved one going through a terrible loss, do not assume that you know what they are feeling. Do not tell them everything will be okay. Do not tell them what you would have done in their situation. Just listen. Be patient. Be compassionate. Be flexible. Show up. Tell them something that you loved and admired about the person that's gone. And if you never met them, say you wish you had. Acknowledge their loss. Thank you to each and every one of you who has shown up for me.
You said that other people have been reaching out to you who have had similar experiences. Do you feel like you're creating a community for people who've experienced this kind of loss?
Yeah, it's much more wide-reaching than I had imagined. I thought other widows or widowers would be interested in hearing the story, but it's actually anyone who's lost a loved one or is in pain or is going through a divorce or all sorts of experiences that I had never really thought had the similarity.
You also decided not just to share your memories of Jacob or your feelings about losing him, but also some of the other things that you've gone through that his loss was kind of the catalyst for. And I'd love for you to read another post. And this is, it's really about how it's changed how you feel about yourself and how you feel about your body. And it's a lovely picture of you wearing jeans and a beautiful lacy bra. And I would love for you to read what you wrote.
An unexpected side effect of losing him, self-acceptance. If a perfectly fit, healthy man can drop dead suddenly, why am I so fixated on my healthy body being wrong or needing improvement? Before, I would never wear high-waisted jeans, tuck in a shirt, or wear a form-fitting skirt because I didn't want anyone to see the parts of me I had deemed ugly. I'd draw attention to my face, my legs, away from my belly. I tattooed my arms first, in part because I thought it would make their width and redness less noticeable. In losing him, I realized I might die hating parts of myself that I could never change. And I hated the idea of being ashamed of my body that I nourish well, exercise, and rest. I became determined to love myself the way he loved me, seeing my full form naked and admiring every piece. I want to leave this earth loving myself, and I find no shame in that.
Have you, in making yourself so vulnerable and sharing such intimate parts of how you feel and how you're growing and changing, how does it feel to put yourself out there in a way that you really hadn't before?
Many days it's empowering. I feel like I know myself a lot better than I ever have. And other times it's daunting to go out in the world and know that people I meet on the street might know the most intimate parts of my life that I've chosen to share. Generally, I feel like I've given my friends and family a toolkit to be supportive for me by giving them feedback on what I need. And that has allowed me to be closer to happiness than I probably would have been if I stayed quiet.
You've also shared and written about trying to date again and experiencing new relationships or at least new intimate experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And in sharing that, I mean, that's something that not a lot of people who have experienced loss do share about. It's very private, but it also opens you up to judgment. And people are not always kind online. Have you received criticism? People saying, oh, you shouldn't date or you shouldn't try to meet new people?
Yeah, I delete those comments immediately. I don't want to hear it. I think it's very easy for people on the internet to sit in their armchair and instigate anger from me. But I just try to focus on the good. I don't think anyone who has been in my position would judge any of my actions because we are all just fighting for a good day.
Knowing that people will say nasty things and even deleting those, it has to sting a little bit. Having people say unkind things hurts. Why share? Why do you think that's important for you to share?
I think I'm opening people's minds and single-handedly making them realize their own biases against people who have to put themselves out there, and especially in dating. I think most people, their mentality is like dating is horrible, and I am so glad I'm in a relationship and I don't have to think about that again. And then I you know, side eye, I'm like, you never know, you might be in my position someday too. And I think we all imagine that we're gonna get old and see our partner die at an old age, and by that time we won't need or want to be with anyone else. But I've learned through this experience, like, Jacob's grandpa is dating again, you know? Even in your 80s, you want companionship, and this is part of the human experience.
Your voice and your images have been so powerful on Instagram. Do you have plans to amplify your voice, to take this further?
I would love to make a photo book. That's my goal.
Right now, I don't know if you're training this week. Maybe you're tapering, getting ready, ready to go on RAGBRAI again. Why did you decide to ride it again this year?
I thought I might be able to enjoy the party more. I just thought it's like a sign. It's starting in Ottawa. What are the chances that RAGBRAI would start in his hometown? It's his way of being like, you know, maybe you could do it again.
What are you looking forward to most this year?
This year I'm going to take a different approach. And I was very like self-reflective and trying to write my own story last year. And this year I'm going to take a film camera out and shoot portraits of people and take little notes about why they're writing and what they enjoy about the experience. And then I plan on making a little printed zine at the end and selling that. So it's like I'm out there writing and working.
Will we see images from RAGBRAI on your Instagram feed?
You will. I'll try to update if I have service at night.
Which we all know is tricky when you're on RAGBRAI. As you've shared your journey for the last year and a half, do you think that there's a time when you want to stop talking about this on Instagram?
I've definitely slowed down already. I think my voice as a writer will always be informed by this experience, but I would like to use my platform to talk about other issues that are important to me.
Well, Anjali Pinto, thank you so much for talking with me and for sharing so much with all of us.
Thank you.
Anjali Pinto, she's getting ready to ride her next Ragbri next week. She is a professional photographer, and you can follow her on Instagram, Anjali Pinto. That's A-N-J-A-L-I-P-I-N-T-O. You can see her images. You can see the posts that she shares about her grieving process, about the growing that she's done in the wake of losing her husband on New Year's Eve of 2016. Coming up in just a moment, I'll talk with Diamond Roundtree. She's a young poet from Cedar Rapids. She's going to be a junior in high school this year. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.